DNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, I want to let you know it's a miracle I could even say that. You've got Bobby still in studio, but you've got me, Kevin Hagland. You've got, oh, man, what's up, Teach? Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing today? And then for everybody out there in listening land, how the heck are y'all doing today? Twitch, YouTube, or the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053.
Alec, the kids are back at school, and so that meant two things. One, traffic's going to be worse because adults have all the same schedule.
That's why traffic was worse today.
And it's great because my kids are going to be worn out when they get home today, and that means that I won't have as much to do. And they will also be they won't be trashing my house throughout the day. So I'm doing really well. I woke up in a positive mood this morning. This is good. This is good stuff.
All right, Alec, what about you?
I'm going through it, guys. The changes in the weather have to stop. Mother Nature, I'm calling you out right now, promo style. Stop whatever you're doing. I hate it. I can barely breathe out of my nose. My eyes feel like they cannot stay open. It is incredibly bad, guys. But I'm in a great mood. I just physically am not fully here.
I'm just saying. Remember that day I came in here? I couldn't keep my eyes open. They were just watering, and it felt allergies, but it was definitely worse. Alec, I hope you're okay.
Oh, I am.
Take some vitamin C, bro.
I'm Man of Steel, man.
All right.
Yeah. Already got the vitamin C going. Already got all the supplements and everything. Eating clean, drinking a ton of water. We're good. Like, I feel fine outside. Like, it's all in the head right now. It's like all nasally and gross. I hate everything about it.
But started, Kevin.
No. Okay.
Be aware, man.
All right. Good to know. From the 817, taking deliveries, ready to go home and play Call of Duty. From the 858, I'm in a great mood, boys. Eberflop got fired. Man, every Cowboys fan should be stoked. From the 405, fantastic. So it seems like people are starting the day in a really good mood, and I wonder how much of that has to do with Matt Eberflus being fired. And then perhaps the other question that goes along with it, and obviously, yes, I want to take this opportunity once again to say Eberflus needs a lift. Is he just a scapegoat? I understand the problems that come along with Matt Eberflus, but do you think we're going to get to this point where Cowboys fans think a magical hire is going to fix everything?
I think that's one of the points that Moose was making before. He never went when he was on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton and I guess sometimes Aiden, because Aiden's with us now a little bit. When he was making this statement of like, moving on from one coach isn't going to be the fix-all for this.
Right.
And I don't think anybody believes that it's going to be the fix-all for it.
I don't think I agree with that.
You think that this defense had good enough talent?
No. Not I think that. You said you don't think anybody thinks that. I think there are quite a few people out there who think that.
Well, then
that.
They're wrong. And that's just the way that it's going to be. Deal with it. I think most people think it's a balance of the Cowboys front office didn't do enough to make sure that there was real premium talent on the defensive side of the ball, and then the coach didn't do a good enough job communicating what he needed those guys to do to be a moderate defense, to be something that looked functional at all. And so I think I don't think he's going to be a scapegoat unless the Cowboys do nothing in free agency and adding to this defense. If they do nothing, then yes, it was scapegoat. Hey, we had to fire somebody to appease the crowd. But I think that this is a Cowboys. I personally think that they are looking at it saying this didn't work properly. We heard from the players. Our leaders on the defensive side of the ball didn't like it. So we're going to add something new to it. We're going to go find something that's going to be better for it. But in the same process, we're going to add better players to the defensive side of the ball because we saw how trash it was whenever we didn't have that out there.
So I am excited about this move because they made it quickly. That was the biggest thing that I was afraid about
with
this.
No, absolutely.
Is when Shoddy, look, I railed against this yesterday when Shoddy was like, we'll take about 10 to 12 days. Well, clearly that wasn't true either. I think we've noticed a pattern throughout this organization. But I appreciate that they got it done way faster, because I hated the idea that you were going to sit around for a week and a half, 2 weeks to figure out something that you've known has been problematic pretty much the entire season. And it's like, once you got eliminated from the playoffs, you should be reflecting on all the things that didn't work and be ready to make a move. I did not think the Cowboys had it in them, and by God, they did. And the reason why I love that is because now it gives you the opportunity to strike on the real candidates that you might actually want, unlike going the route of free agency where you're like, whoever's left over.
You know what we did on the Saturday, the Friday and Saturday of last week, Kevin? I cleared out, it was Saturday, Thursday and Saturday, cleared out closet, rearranged it, cleared out, and this is the one in the living room. Cleared out the, where all the mail goes and you just kind of leave it there all year.
I would never do that.
I did. And actually, I just assumed my wife will take care of it, and she never did. So I said, we got to do this together. And we did. Daughter's room cleaned up. Son's room cleaned up. His closet, don't worry about that right now. All right. Okay. But I said, it's January. We got to move. We can't. Yeah. I had a goal to get this stuff taken care of. We need to do it now. No sitting around playing games on our phone. Let's get it done right now. And I think that's what the Cowboys are looking at. We have to move. If we're going to make sure we have a good plan of action to go get players that our coach can actually use, then we need to find out who our coach is going to be immediately. Means we can't wait around. And also, that means we can't wait around for somebody to take the better coaches that we might want.
Right.
If we're going to go out and get a better coach right now, then we have to be at the front of the line and make sure that we get the premium one that we really want. We'll offer him what we need to in order to make sure we secure the bag for him.
I want to say this is the second time in the last, 5 months now, the Cowboys have made a move that I just didn't think they had the stomach for. First of all, trading a big-time player in Micah Parsons. Now, making a quick decision on firing even a coordinator.
You know, what's interesting about that is Jerry told us last week that he's had a tendency in his career to hold on to things too long, didn't he?
Yes.
Because I was like, hey, you know, you moved on from Trayvon Diggs. When do you know? Because this organization's done that plenty of times.
Yeah.
Tyrone Crawford, they gave a big deal. You didn't think that they needed to give him a big deal. It turned out that kind of was a stinker.
Right.
They've done that. Do you think that that's a Stephen imprint? That Stephen was like, look, if we're going to do this, because I feel like there's been a lot of Stephen going, I'm going to accommodate Dad. I'm going to accommodate these things. And then maybe this is one of those moments where he's like, you know what? I got to make a move here. Or maybe Jerry came down on him and said, you got to make a move, guys.
Okay, I kind of wonder.
Or maybe, just maybe, the coach being somebody who proved that he's going to work his ass off, the coach being somebody that proved that he could make this offense function, somebody that they respect and they like, got in their ear and said, guys, if we're going to do something better next year, I have to have this.
I think that is the most likely outcome, that Shoddy talked to Jerry and he was like, then let me pick my person. Like, let me pick the person that I want to be the defensive coordinator. It's kind of the anti-Mike Maddox effect, where we were like, hey, Mike Maddox will let you go out there and pitch the way you want. And then when it doesn't work, he's like, now you have to do it my way. Well, Shoddy was like, fine, you can get the coordinator you want, but that didn't work. So now let me go do it my way. And so I think that's the case. And I will tell you this. I think people are going to be mad about this. I think that people should be happy about this level of some change and flexibility from the Jones family. I know there are plenty of people out there who will only say credit goes to the Jones family when they fire themselves, and I hear you on that. That's just never going to happen. So I appreciate the fact that this was a franchise that was like, well, we'll never trade a big name. All right, we'll do it. And this is a franchise we're like, yeah, maybe we need to fire that person, but let's really make sure we take all of the time with it. And then we'll make that decision. But they changed it this time. And then you brought up something yesterday to the discussion about what took place in some of those exit interviews, and did that skew things one way or another? I don't know for a fact that it did push things one way or another, but the timing suggests that that's possible, or maybe the Cowboys wanted to wait an extra day so theirs would get all of the coverage. I don't don't know what the answer is to that. But I appreciate the fact that they're trying to do things a little bit different now, actually put some resources in free agency, maybe screw over your salary cap in 2028 and be like, well, the way we usually do it never works. So let's try this way.
Yeah, and we've had this pick for all of these times for mining for our gold. Maybe we can go to the little pan method, as we were talking about yesterday, trying to mine for gold.
Yeah.
And stop using the pick. Kevin, I'm glad then that you made that suggestion last week to Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever thought about going this way with it? And he's like, oh, well, you know. So maybe he was listening. Maybe he was listening when we were talking to him. He's like, this Kevin guy. You know, I wrote down all his suggestions this year.
Hated a lot of them.
At the time, I hated him because he was proving me wrong on air. But right now, as I look at it, maybe Kevin's got some good thoughts here.
And I find that hard to believe. But that would
be possible.
Yeah, that's.
I'd love in Oxnard, we get out there. He's like, Kevin, you know, all these changes. You were right the whole time.
Yeah.
You're right the whole time. I didn't want to believe it.
And it's not a moment where Steven goes, what's a tolo? because that might happen as well. Now, I don't know. I know he's in the midst of doing other things. I don't know if Bobby wants to jump on, but I will give him credit for his tweet.
That
of
joke
course.
He said earlier?
We do not need to bring that up on the air.
One of my best.
I it's very clever, but probably not for air. Mm. Is you, one of the things that you tweeted out this morning was out of Denver,
mm-hmm.
is it Leonard or
Jim
Leonard?
Leonard.
Jim
okay.
Leonard.
Okay. He is allowed to virtually start interviewing tomorrow, and you said you don't think the timing is coincidental,
yep.
Or it can open you up for Gannon. There's a couple of different people out there.
Yeah, I think they were, this was done, when Shotty said that 10 to 12 days thing that people were freaking out about over the weekend,
yes.
I think that was the process, like the whole process. We're going to make a decision about if somebody's coming back. If they're not coming back, we're then going to go through the interview process and have somebody picked, and all that needs to be completed in the next 10 to 12 days. And I think a part of it is just there's so many coach openings right now. There's going to be so many staffs filled out that they don't want to be left, you know, musical chairs feeling like, okay, we got nobody left.
Yep.
Now we're stuck with somebody we don't really want. But I think Leonard, that timing, there are a lot of people who are big fans of his with the Cowboys. And so I think that timing makes sense. And the other thing, this has been asked a little bit, he's assistant head coach is his title there. That's one of his titles. He's passing game coordinator. And I'd not gotten clarity on this. I found out that apparently that assistant head coach title does not supersede the coordinator tag. So they don't, the Broncos cannot block his interview.
Okay.
Like if they were just like, oh, this is a way for us to kind of work around it, they can't do that. So I imagine that he is going to get an interview.
All right, so there's some viable candidates. I still don't
think...
They've been
a phenomenal defense.
Yeah.
I know Vance Joseph has a lot to do with that.
Sure.
He's the one calling the shots.
And
there.
I don't want to discredit their quarterback or anything else, their head coach,
mm-hmm.
but defense feels like what's been propelling
card for them for years now.
He was with Shotty. With the Jets, too. So when Jim Leonard was a player, when he was a safety for the Jets, was when Shotty was the coordinator for the Jets.
Familiarity helps a little bit.
Okay.
Very familiar with him. The whole league is familiar with him from his time as the defensive coordinator in Wisconsin.
But you said something this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I think that this kind of stands. Shotty had a lot of responsibilities this year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, I got to go over to the other side of the aisle and make sure that they're doing their job right and help them fix a problem. Do you think that he would have total autonomy to just be like, hey, I trust that you who's never done this before,
mm-hmm.
I trust that you got everything taken care of.
Yeah, I think that ultimately they would have to feel comfortable with that in order to make the hire.
Yes, yes.
But I do think that Shoddy's familiarity with him, and I mean, there's really important people in that building that are very big fans of his and have been for a while. And so I think as long as Shoddy goes like, yeah, I know him and I know what he's about, and you got to remember, he's never done it at the NFL level. He was defensive coordinator for 5 years at Wisconsin, and he was the interim head coach at Wisconsin when Paul Chryst got fired.
Right.
So, I mean, he's got some level of that kind of executive leadership. It's just not been at the NFL level, but he is also a former NFL player who knows how to kind of operate in those spaces.
And then just, I guess, my other question, since y'all were just a second ago talking about familiarity, fourth different DC in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That Is there just a general concern about that, or are you like, hey, if you have
if you have
the worst defense in franchise history, rebooting either way is fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there.
You got to do that. And Jonathan, if you want to keep some level of continuity, you can do it a couple different ways.
Jonathan Gannon.
Jonathan Gannon is a Zimmer disciple. A lot of the language is similar. So I mean, from 2 years ago, that would be a carryover for some guys. And I mean, I assume they're keeping Aaron Whitecotton. They'll look at the assistants, but if they are keeping Aaron Whitecotton, Jeff Ulbrich from the Falcons, they worked together in New York for several years, and that would probably be an easy transition for a lot of guys.
Well, appreciate it very much. Appreciate the insight that you brought on the morning show and on your Twitter.